We are on the very bottom of Lamed Hamed Beis, second last line. So just a quick recap for a moment. We had quoted a braisa which said that any tevel, meaning a product which has not been completely tithed as far as Truma Gedola, Trumas Meiser, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, if any of those Trumas or Meisers were not taken from the food, it may not be used for the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. And the Gemara had explained the reason for that is because the Pasuk implies that only that product that is potentially subject to the Isra of Chametz can be used for the mitzvah of Matzah. But a product that would be subject to not just the Isra of Chametz, but also the Isra of Tevel may not be used for Achilas Matzah. So Gemara asks, second last line, the Isura de Chametz Lehechan Azla. Well, then what happened to the Isra of Chametz? If you're telling me that this product is not subject to the Isra of Chametz, but it is subject to the Isra of Tevel, that implies it's subject only to the Isra of Tevel, not to the Isra of Chametz. Where did the Isra of Chametz go? So Amar Rav Sheshes explains, Hamani Rabbi Shimonhi. This braisa, which states that a product that is Tevel cannot be used for matzah because it is not subject to the Isra of Chametz. It is only subject to the Isra of Tevel, follows the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. The Amar who says, Ein Isra Chal Al Isra. Shimon says that one Isra cannot be superimposed upon another Isra. So when this product is Asur Mishum Tevel, it cannot then, come Pesach time, be subject also to the Isra of Chametz. The Tanya, because the Baisa says, Rabbi Shimon says, top of the Amud, Amud Vav, Ha'ochel Nevela B'Yom Kippur, if one eats a Nevela on Yom Kippur, kosher animal, not slaughtered properly, it is a Nevela. If one eats it on Yom Kippur, Pater. So if he eats it B'Shogig, Rashi explains, ordinarily, because eating on Yom Kippur is a Chi of Kares, so when you eat something on Yom Kippur B'Shogig, you should be Chayav Achatas. But in this instance, when you eat this Nevela B'Shogig on Yom Kippur, you're not Chayav Achatas, because since it was Asur Mishum Nevela, you cannot superimpose upon the Isra Nevela the Isra of Yom Kippur, because Ein Isra Chal Al Isra. That certainly is true if the animal had been a Nevela from before Yom Kippur, then the Isra Yom Kippur is not Chal on the Isra Nevela. Even, explains Rashi and Tosfos, if the animal died on Yom Kippur itself, and therefore you might have argued that Yom Kippur should have been applicable before it became an Nevela, Rashi and Tosfos explained that no, that even before Yom Kippur, when it was still alive, it was us then to eat it Mishum Eivar Menachai. And so therefore, if it was us prior to Yom Kippur Mishum Eivar Menachai, and then it dies on Yom Kippur and becomes us Mishum Nevela, Nevela is really one continuous Isser from Eivar Menachai, because both Eivar Menachai and Nevela, explains Tosfos, are both an Isser of an animal that does not have a proper Shechita. Eivar Menachai means it's alive, has not been shechted, and Nevela means it died without Shechita. So it's one long continuous Isser, and therefore the Isser of Yom Kippur is never Chal on the Isser of Nevela on Yom Kippur. So we see from this Braisa that Shimon says, Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, therefore the Gemara is suggesting that the Braisa we quoted previously, which says that you can't be Yotze with the mitzvah of Matzah with Tevel, because the Tevel is not subject to Isser Chametz, it's subject to Isser Tevel. That price also follows Rav Shimon in that once something is Asur Mishum Tevel, the Isra Chametz cannot be Chal on top of the Isra Tevel. Ravina says no. I feel the same Rabbanan. It could be this price follows Shitas Rabbanan that you can't use this Tevel for the mitzvah of Matzah because it is subject to the Isra of Tevel. But according to the Rabbanan, why can't it be subject to the Isra of Chametz also? So Ravina rephrases the drasha as follows. He says, Misha isur mishum bal tocho chametz bilvad. The drasha in the braisa meant to say that you can only be yotzei mitzvahs matzah with an item that is subject to only isur chametz. That says that, but that excludes tevel. She'ein isur mishum bal tocho chametz bilvad. It's not forbidden only on the basis of, it's not subject only to the isur of chametz. But it's also subject to the Isra of Tevel. So Ravina is saying that our braisa could follow Shittas Chachamim. Chachamim allow for Isra to be Chal al Isra, And therefore, it's possible, according to Chachamim, that an item can be usher because of both Tevel and Chametz. And what the Bryce is saying is that only an item that is subject only to the Mister of Chametz potentially can be used for matzah, but an item that is subject to both Isser Chametz and Isser Tevel cannot be used for the mitzvah of matzah, and that's how our Bryce can follow even Shitas Chachamim. So the Gemara says, asks the Gemara on Ravina's pshat, Midi Bilvarksiv, but the Bryce, which quoted that drasha, did not say the word only. The Bryce didn't say that you can be Yotze Matzah with that which is only subject to Isser Chametz, as opposed to being subject to both Isser Chametz and Isser Tevel. Doesn't say that. The Bryce implies that you can be Yotze Mitzvahs Matzah only with items that are subject to Isser Chametz altogether, implying that Tevel is not subject to Isser Chametz at all. Ella, rather, the Gemara concludes, you're right. Machvar Tikta Rav Sheshes. The proper pshat is that which Rav Sheshes said. The bottom line, the Bryce which says that you cannot be Yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, with Tevel, because you can only be Yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, which with that which is subject to Isser Chametz, whereas Tevel is not subject to Isser Chametz. That Bryce follows Shita Rav Shimon, who says, Ein Isser Chal Isser, that Tevel cannot be then superimposed upon with an Isser Chametz. And therefore, you can't be Yotze Matzah with Tevel because it is only subject to Tevel. It is not subject to Chametz. Whereas it seems that according to Rabbanon, who say Isser Chal Al Isser, and if you could have an item that is both subject to Isser Tevel and to Isser Chametz, then Korach Chametz should emerge that you should be able to be Yotze the mitzvah of Matzah with Tevel. So writes Ramban, that according to Chachamim, who hold Isser Chal Al Isser, you would be allowed to be Yotze Matzah with Tevel because Tevel, according to Chachamim, could be subject to Isser Chametz as well. And the Braisa, which we just quoted, says that you can't be Yotze the mitzvah of Matzah with Tevel, is only, as Rav Sheshes said, according to Shimon, who says that there will never be an Isser Chametz imposed upon an Isser Tevel. Moving on, new discussion. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Yachol Yotze Adam Yedei Chovaso V'Maisa Sheni B'Yerushalayim. One might think that he can be Yotze the mitzvah of matzah with Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. So we just discussed now the shaila of being Yotze the mitzvah of matzah with Tevel. Rav Shimon said no. Chachamim seem to say yes. Now we're discussing Maisa Sheni. So one takes Maisa Sheni, he takes it to Yerushalayim. Can he now use Maisa Sheni matzah in Yerushalayim for the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah? So the Gemara Brisa says, no, Talmud Lomar Lechem Oni. The Pasuk refers to matzah as Lechem Oni, which the Brisa darshens to mean, Mi Shene Achal Ba'aninus. The Lashon Oni implies only that which can be eaten by an Onen, one who is in between the stage of the Patira of a close relative and Kavura. He's not yet an Avel, but he is an Onen. Or Medoraisa, it's the Yom HaMisa, the day on which the relative dies. The individual is considered an onen. So when one is an onen, one is not allowed to eat maaser sheni. Therefore, the Braisa says, "Yatzezeh she'eino nechal ba'aninos ela b'simcha." Different Rabbi Yosef Guli, because maaser is called lechem oni, that implies that it has to be something which can be eaten by an onen, but maaser sheni, which cannot be eaten by an onen, it must be eaten dafka b'simcha. Therefore, you can't make matzah out of maaser sheni. So darshins Rav Yossi Hagluli in the Braisa, that you cannot use Maaser Sheni for matzah because it cannot be eaten by an onen. Rashi quotes the pasuk by Maaser Sheni, it says, Lo achalti be'oni mimenu. I did not eat it as an onen. Rabbi Kiva says, no, masos masos riba. Rabbi Kiva says, you are allowed to use Maaser Sheni for mitzvah of matzah. Okay, so machlokas tanoim, Rav Yossi Guli and Rabbi Kiva, can one use Maaser Sheni for matzah or not? Rabbi Yossi Guli says, no. Rabbi Kiva says, yes. If it says matzos to include that one can use maaser sheni for matzah, the Gemara asks in Rabbi Kiva, matam lomar lechem oni. So what does Rabbi Kiva do with the drasha from lechem oni? Why is it called lechem oni? According to Yosef Guli, oni means that it has to be something which an onen can eat, and therefore you cannot use maaser sheni for matzah because an onen can't eat maaser sheni. But according to Rabbi Kiva, says that you could use maaser sheni for matzah. So what then is learned from the phrase lechem oni? Answers the Gemara, prat le'isa sheni lusha v'yayin v'shemen udvash. the fact that matzah is referred to as lachem oni teaches me that I may not use for matzah a dough that was kneaded with wine or oil or honey, because that is not considered lechem oni. Says the Gemara, my time is Rabbi Akiva. So what is Rabbi Akiva darshan? That lechem oni means you can't use a dough kneaded with wine, oil, or honey, instead of darshaning that you can't use something which is forbidden to an onain. Explains the Gemara, miksiv lechem oni, because the writing of the word is not oni with a vav, rather oni ksiv. It's written oni without a vav. And therefore, since it's written and spelled without a vav, Rabbi Akiva prefers to darshan that it's really just coming to exclude a dough that is made in a matzah ashira fashion. Not a poor man's bread, but a more luxurious bread made with oil, wine, or honey.
Why does he emphasize the vav instead
of the
aleph
is missing? Oh, so the fact that it's written with an I instead of an aleph, that does not seem to trouble the Gemara, because I guess the pronunciation oni can be understood as if it's referring to onain with an aleph or oni with affliction. Oh, you're right. If you had a differentiation between aleph and ayin in terms of pronunciation, right? That's an interesting question. It seems like they're only discussing whether you emphasize more how it's written versus how it's spelled. But they seem to be emphasizing whether you emphasize more how it's written versus how it's pronounced, how it's read. Right. Does not seem to be a subject of dispute in terms of the fact that it's an aleph versus an ayin, or ayin versus an aleph. Interesting question. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure why that doesn't bother the Tanoim here. That's an ayin versus an aleph. That seems to be an acceptable method of drash to read it either way. Interesting. Okay, that I don't know. The Yemenites have maintained that distinction, you know, throughout. So I'm not sure if that would be the best assumption, that they already lost the distinction of pronunciation, that I don't know. Okay, so let's continue on. So the Gemara says that according to Bikiva, we emphasize the fact that it is written oni, not oni. And therefore he prefers to darshan that it excludes the Esau that's kneaded with oil, wine, or honey. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Glili says, no, mi karinan ani, but we don't read it ani, oni karinan be. We read it oni, which lends itself to the interpretation that it has to be something which can be eaten by an onain. So Rabbi Akiva emphasizes the spelling, Rabbi Yosef Glili emphasizes the pronunciation. And therefore they end up with two different drashas, whether it's coming to exclude that which cannot be eaten by an onain, namely Ma'aser Sheni, as per Rabbi Yosef Glili, whether it's coming to exclude that which is kneaded with wine, oil, and honey, as per Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Akiva, hai de karinan be'oni. So according to Rabbi Akiva, who emphasizes the fact that it's written, spelled, oni, so how does he explain the fact that it's read as oni? And says the Gemara Kiddush Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva interprets the reading oni like Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel says, lechem oni implies lechem she'onin alav devarim harbe. A bread which upon one recites numerous things. Rashi specifically says, we recite the Hallel over the matzah and we say the Haggadah over the matzah, which is why you'll notice in the Haggadah that we're supposed to uncover the matzahs throughout the recital of the Haggadah. And the halal, we only cover it when we pick up the kos for the bracha, I said over the kos, or for the vehish amda. But generally speaking, you just have the matzahs uncovered because you're supposed to recite the halal and the haggadah over the lechem oni. So bottom line is, we have machlokas of Yosef Guli and Rabbi Akiva. Yosef Guli says you cannot use Ma'aser Sheni for matzah because he darshins lechem oni to refer to that which can be eaten by an onain. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you could use Ma'aser Sheni for matzah. The oni is meant to imply that you recite halal and haggadah over the matzah. And the fact that it's written lechem oni tells me, according to Bikiva, that you cannot use a matzah ashira, that which is kneaded with wine, oil, or honey, for your mitzvahs matzah. Okay, Gemara asks, V'sabar b'kiva isa shenilusha v'yayin v'shemen o'dvash lo. Is this true that according to b'kiva, you cannot use a dough kneaded with wine, oil, or honey for matzah? But Tanya but the Braisa says, Ein loshen isa v'pesach v'yayin v'shemen o'dvash. The Braisa says you're not allowed to knead a dough on Pesach that was kneaded with oil, wine, or honey. The imlosh, and if you did use such ingredients in kneading your dough, Rabbi Avin Gamliel, Omer Tisar Miyat. Avin Gamliel says, burn it immediately. According to Avin Gamliel, it becomes chametz very quickly. You must burn it immediately. Referring to Rashi to Chol HaMoed, not on Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov you can't light a fire for such purposes. The Chachamim or Mechamim say, Ye'ochel, no, you're allowed to eat it. They hold that you can prevent it from becoming chametz. The Amar B'kiva says, Shabbosi hoise esal b'lazer b'shua. I once stayed for Pesach by Rabbi Elazar and by Rabbi Shua. V'lashti lahem isa b'yayin b'shem l'dvash. And I did, in fact, need a dough with wine, oil, or honey. V'lo amar li dov, they didn't complain to me about it. They didn't criticize me for it. So you see, B'kiva approves of kneading a dough with wine, or oil, or honey. And the Braisa continues, the afapisha ein loshin, even though you may not need a dough with such ingredients, meaning according to the opening opinion in the Braisa, mekatvimbo, you can still smear the surface of the dough after it's been shaped with these ingredients. Also in the Tanakama, that's according to Tanakama, who said you can't knead the dough with such ingredients, but you can still smear the surface with these ingredients. The Chachamim or Mechamim say, Esher Lashem Bo, Mekatvim Bo, Esher Em Lashem Bo, Em Mekatvim Bo. Chachamim say that you can only smear the surface with that which you can knead the dough with. You can't knead the dough with it, you can't smear the surface with it. And the Braisa concludes by saying, B'shaven, but both opinions, those who argue about kneading a dough with Yayin, Shaman, and Vash, still agree, She'ein Lashem Esitza B'Potion, you can't use warm water to make your dough, because that definitely makes the dough become chametz very quickly. But the problem is, here you see in this braisa, that there's a machlokas tanoim. Tanakama said you can't knead your dough with yayin, shemen, dvash. And if you did, machlokas chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel, what to do? Burn it immediately, or you can prevent it from becoming chametz and you're allowed to eat it. And then Rabbi Kiva says, well, I was by Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua, and they had no objections with me needing an Isa with Yain, Shemen, or Dvash. So here you see Rabbi Kiva allows the kneading of the dough with Yain, Shemen, or Dvash. So Gemara says very simply, Lokash Tanastira, Habiyam Tavrisha, when we're talking about using such a dough for the mitzvah of matzah, then you can't use the dough kneaded with Yain, Shemen, or Dvash for the first night when matzah must be a lechem only product for the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Ha, b'yom tov sheni. But when you're dealing with later in yom tov, not for the purposes of the mitzvah the rice of achilas matzah, and there is no lechem only requirement, and then you're allowed to knead your dough with yain shemen dvash. According to B'kiva, we don't assume it becomes chametz as Rabbi Gamliel did. And as I mentioned yesterday, Rashi learns pshat over here that we are discussing a scenario where you are using yain, shemen, and dvash exclusively without water. Rashi holds that when the Braisa speaks here of not kneading a dough with yain, shemen, or dvash, and according to Gamliel, if you do, you have to burn it because it becomes chametz very quickly. Rashi says we're talking about a case where it's just the juice or the wine or the honey or the oil alone without any water whatsoever. Even just made peres alone without water, according to Rashi, will become potentially some form of chametz and may not be eaten on Pesach. It must be burned according to Rabbi Gamliel. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. Kidza Omar Lahu Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Lufnei. As Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to his children, Yom HaKama on the first day, I guess that first night when Matzah is mitzvah d'oraisa, don't make the dough with milk because it's not lachamoni. After the first night, you could make it with milk. There's no longer any concerns of lachamoni. Now the Gemara just asks in general, but Tanya, how could he say that you can knead a dough with milk after the first night of Pesach But the Brisa says, "En loshenas isa b'chalav v'en losh kol pas asura v'ne hergal avera." Forget about Pesach year round. One is not allowed to make a dough with milk. You can't make a milk with bread. And if you did, the bread is forbidden to eat because we're concerned you might come to eat it with your meat. So rather, the Gemara says, "Okay, elohi kamar." What Rabbi Shmuel must have said is the following: "Yomai kamar lo slushal b'dufsha. Don't make my dough the first night with honey." But after the first night, you could make my matzahs with honey. Or you can answer, maybe really he meant, don't make my dough the first night with milk, but afterwards you could make it with milk. All right, how is that permitted? All year round, you can't make dairy dough. Answers the Gemara, because Amar Ravina, Zavina explains, Ka'ein Tura Shari. If you're going to make the milk bread in very, very small quantities, so it gets eaten right away before you forget that it's milk, then we're not worried about an error being made to eat it with meat, and then it's okay. Here also, perhaps Rav Shmuel Levi was saying, after the first night, me can make my dough with dairy, with milk, provided it's in very small quantities, so it gets consumed right away, and if there's no consumer, it might be left around, and it might be forgotten that it's a dairy dough.
Doesn't this suggest that Gebrachs is all right?
Yes, it's clear Gebrachs is all right. There's no question. Gebrachs is all right. The Gebrachs is a much later chumrah, adopted a few centuries ago.
So the time of the Gemara, there was nothing like
times the Gemara, Gebrachs was permitted, there was no such distinction. Rice was permitted, except according to Yochanan ben Nuri, according to Chachamim, rice was permitted. Kenyas became also only times the Rishonim, and Gebrachs became adopted by those who adopted it only in the times of, let's say, the 1700s, perhaps, or in that era, more or less, right. Definitely much more recent. Right, correct. Okay. All right, so this concludes our discussion. So we discussed the Shiloh here and the Brisa of making a dough with Yain, Shemen, and Devash. Tanakama said you can't make such a dough because it becomes chametz right away. Rabbi Gamliel conceded and said that if it is made with Yain, Shemen, Devash, it must be burned immediately. Chum say no, if you made such a dough, it can be prevented from becoming chametz and you're allowed to even eat it. And Rabbi Akiva said you're allowed to make the dough altogether, but just not for the first night, because that's when you need lechem oni. Okay. Two dots. Second white line. Says Gemara, v'shavin she'en loshin esa isha v'poshin. So we said that although there's machlokas time if you're allowed to knead a dough with wine, oil, or honey, but everyone agrees you can't knead the dough with warm water because it becomes chametz very quickly. Asks Gemara Mishnah Menachos, why is this more stringent than Menachos? Menachos also must only be matzah. They cannot be chametz. They cannot be chametz. Not because Mishnah says, kol Menachos, niloshos the poshrin. All Menachos are kneaded with warm water. U'mishamran, just watch them. Shlo yechametz, they don't become chametz. So, why is that allowed by Menachos? You know, with rare exception, Menachos are all matzah. Yes, there are 10 chalos toda that are chametz. But in general, Menachos are all matzah. They can't become chametz. And therefore, why is that by Menachos, where they can't be chametz, we still allow the kneading of the dough with warm water, and we just are very careful to prevent chimutz? So why not say the same thing by matzah on Pesach? You can eat it with warm water, just be careful, it doesn't become chametz. Why the difference? And it says the Gemara, in Amribis reason, Yom Rabbi Shain's reason, when you're talking about Menachos, which are under the supervision of the Kohanim, those Kohanim are very, very efficient. They're on the ball. We're not concerned they're going to let it become chametz. But if you're going to open up to the rest of the world when dealing with matzah on Pesach, which everyone is responsible for their own home, we're not going to trust that the average person is going to be so careful as to be capable of preventing the warm water needed with flour from becoming chametz. So I'm going to ask, see, that's the pshat, that we're more comfortable with Kohanim being on top of the situation. So milsas nami losses. Then why can't you first soak the wheat in water before crushing it to remove the outer shell, right, the bran? Why does Shmuel say, chitin shal menachos ein losses in osa? Why are we so concerned that you can't soak the wheat to be used for menachos before removing the bran? If Kohanim are so on top of the situation, so why not trust them to soak the wheat in water first? Answers the Gemara, Lisha, Bezrizen, Isa. The kneading component or process or stage of the Menachos was done by the Kohanim. Whereas the Sisa Lesa Bezrizin, but the soaking is done before it's brought to the Kohanim. It's done by the Yisrael before he brings it to the Kohanim. The Yisrael brings the flour to the Kohanim. He's already soaked it before. So therefore, we tell the Yisrael, listen, we're not going to trust you guys to do the soaking of the wheat before you crush it into flour, because the Kohanim are not involved yet. But the leash of the kneading, that's done by the Kohanim. That we trust them to do it even with warm water. So we ask, the leash of the Yisrael is the reason. Is that true, that the kneading of the Menachos is done by the Kohanim? Baksid Pasuk says, V'yatzak ol ha-shamen, you should pour oil on it, V'heviya ala kohen, and then bring it to the kohen. From which we darshan, Mikmitza ve'elach mitzvah kohuna. We darshan that the Kohanim only get involved from the point of the doing the kmitza, of taking the kmitza, the fistful almost of the mincha, and burning on the mizbeach. Lima, that implies al yitzika obli, that the prior stages of pouring the oil and mixing the oil with the mincha, shekher b'kol adam, can be done by any person, even a non-kohen. So it's clear that the lisha is not always done by Kohanim. You see from this pasuk that the Kohanim only has to get involved from the point of the kmitza, but prior to that, the lisha may be done by a non-kohen. So how come you're assuming that you are allowed to knead the mincha with warm water if it's not necessarily done by the Kohanim just yet? So the Gemara explains Lisha nehid zvizin lesa. Perhaps the lisha, the kneading, is not done by Kohanim, but b'makom zvizin isa. But at least it's done in the place where the Kohanim are, in the Azara, in the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi explains because the kelim used for the preparation of the mincha were clay shares, and that was done dafka in the Azara, and the Kohanim were there, and therefore they were overseeing it being done, and they would therefore instruct and be in a supervisor capacity to ensure that it does not become chametz. Amamar, because the Brice, because Gemara says, Belila share bazaar. A non-kohen is allowed to mix the oil with the mincha. But chutz lechomas azar psula. But you can't do it outside of the azara. So the kohanim still have oversight on the mincha when it's at the stage of kneading, and they can instruct and watch and be careful to prevent chimutz. Therefore, menachas can be kneaded with warm water. But soaking the wheat, which is done by the non-Kohanim outside of the Mikdash, that we don't trust a soil to be on top of, and therefore you can't soak the wheat for the menachos in water before you remove the bran. Okay, so this is the Gemara's reason why by chametz we don't allow kneading with warm water, but by menachos we do allow kneading with warm water, because the Kohanim oversee the process of the lisha of the menachos, because even if it's being done by a soul, it's being done in the azar, where the Kohanim can keep an eye on what's happening.
Rabbi, a quick question.
Yes.
On the second wide line, when we start with the two dots, v'shavim she'ein loshen.
Yes.
I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's normally the way a subject is announced from the previous Mishnah, but this is from a Baraisa. Wouldn't it start instead Gufa?
I guess, good, interesting question. I'm not sure if that's always the rule, that Gufa has to be mentioned first when reintroducing a line from a Baraisa beforehand. Yeah, you're right, Nechami. This is a Bryce, it seems, but I didn't think that was Dafka. Really, you always have to say Gufa before you introduce a comment mentioned earlier. When the Gemara reintroduces a statement by an Amora, usually says Amar Amar or Gufa Amar Amar. But I guess when you're dealing with a Bryce, so maybe not necessarily. Okay, interesting thought. Have to keep our eyes open for future references and examples to see how it plays out. Okay. I guess as we go through the rest of Shas, we'll keep our eyes open for that. We'll take a look. We'll try to...
That's why I don't remember it ever seeing it before, but my memory is not...
Okay, so we'll make it a joint operation. We'll all look out for future examples. Okay, Yashika. All right. Gemara continues. U'mayishna in Minchas Omer. Why is this different than the rules of Minchas Omer? The Tanya, because of Minchas Omer, the Brisa says, Minchas Omer lo sisanosa. You do soak the barley, in this case, in water before you remove the outer part of the barley. It's sobrenosa, and you then pile it up to let it drain and dry. So you just told me that lasisa we don't allow by menachas because it's done outside of the mikdash by non-kohanim. So why by minchas omer do we allow soaking of the barley first, and we pile it up to let it dry out and to let the water flow out? That's just the Gemara at Sibur Shiny. When you deal with the Korban Sibur, where Basin oversees the processing of the barley for the mincha, so then you can rely on Basin to oversee the process properly. And this is not a private mincha where one person is the one taking care of the preparatory stages. This is Basin overseeing for the sake of the Sibur. And therefore, that also is like done by his reason, like the Kohanim. So no concern there either. Tanur Ban Abaisa says, okay, so now we've discussed using tevel for matzah, which says machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim. We discussed using Ma'aser Sheni for matzah, which says machlokas of Yosei Glili, who says no, and Rabbi Akiva says yes. Now comes the next discussion. Tanur Ban Yochel Yotzei Adam Dechavasa Bikurim. You might think you can use Bikurim for matzah, says Rashi. A person brings his first of his Shiva Saminim to the Kohen as Bikurim, and the Kohen now wants to use the wheat that he got from Bikurim as his matzah product. Tamalama Pasuk says, "Bechol Moshe Osechem Tohu Ochel Matzos." Yeshi Matzos everywhere you live. So we darshan matzah nechalas bechol Moshe Osechem. Only matzah which could be eaten everywhere can be used. Yatsa Bikurim she'ein acholin bechol Moshe Osechem elav Yerushalayim de'rav Yosei Gli. However, Bikurim can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Memela Yosei Gli says, "No, you cannot use Bikurim for your mitzvah matzah." Rabbi Kiva says, matzah umar. There's a hekesh in the pasuk between matzah and mar, because pasuk says on matzahs umram yachluhu, that korban pesach is eaten with both matzah and mar. So what does that teach us? Ma mar she'ena bikurim, just like mar, which is not one of the shivas aminim, can never be bikurim. Af matzah she'ena bikurim, so to matzah can only be something which is not bikurim. Ask Skimmer 1 second. Ima mar she'en b'mino bikurim, but mar is a species that is never made into bikurim, because it's not one of the shivas aminim. So should you therefore darshan af matzah she'ein b'mina bikurim? So should you therefore darshan Rabbi Kiva that matzah also must only be a species that can never be bikurim because it's not one of the shivas aminim? Amaveis. If that's the case, otzichitin usa'orin she'yesh b'mina bikurim. Then I should exclude ever using wheat and barley for matzah because it can be bikurim according to Rabbi Kiva. Maybe I should use dafka, spelt, and oats and rye. No, tamid lomar matzos matzah shiva. No, the pasuk which speaks of matzos teaches me that I could use chitin and tzorin, even though they at times could be used for bikurim. Well, then, if you're being marba chitin and tzorin, then be marba all bikurim. Even grain that was actually made into bikurim, you should be marba, and it should be allowed to use it for matzah. So, how do you have it both ways? In other words, you're comparing matzah to maror. Well, if that's the case, we're asking Rabbi Kiva, maror is a species that is never subject to Hilchos Bikurim. So then how could you ever use Chitin and Oren that are subject to Hilchos Bikurim? And if you can tell me that, oh, you could because of the Riboy of Matzos, so then even Chitin and Oren that was actually made into Bikurim, you should be allowed to use for units of Matzah. So how do you navigate this? So Gemara says, you're right, Hadavei Rikiva. Rikiva retracted this shot. In other words, we have two opinions of Yosef Guli and Rikiva as to how we know you cannot use Bikurim for Mitzvah Matzah. Rabbi Yosef Guli's opinion is, very simply, that you can't use Bikurim for mitzvah matzah because it's not something you can eat, b'chol Moshe Osechem. And Rabbi Kiva tries to darshan it from a hekesh of matzah tomorrow that you can't use matzah as Bikurim. But the Gemara is troubled by that hekesh because then how could you use chitin and sorim in general that are subject to mitzvah Bikurim? How could they ever be used for the mitzvah of matzah? So, the Gemara says, "The Tanya, how do we see the Bikiva retracted his initial statement? Because the Brisa says, Yachol Yaitse Yede Adam Yedechavasa B'Bikurim. You have another Brisa which says, you might think you can use Bikurim for matzah. Tamalom B'Chomosh Vosechem Tochul Matzos. Pasuk says, you should eat matzah everywhere. Matzah Nechas B'Chomosh Vos, only that which you can eat everywhere, you can use a matzah. Yotze Bikurim, Sheinachom B'Chomosh Vos, El Bishalayim. That excludes Bikurim that can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. So here again, the Brisa begins, citing of Yosef Guli's drasha. That the Chumash Rosechem teaches me I can't use Bikurim because Bikurim cannot be eaten anywhere outside of Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, says the Brisa. Well, maybe I should exclude Maaseh Sheni based on this pasuk, because it also can only be eaten in Yerushalayim once it's brought to Yerushalayim. Rashi explains that although Maaseh Sheni can be redeemed, can be mechulal, so to speak, before it's brought to Yerushalayim, once you bring it to Yerushalayim, you can no longer transfer the kedusha off of it. You have to dafka then eat it in Yerushalayim. The Rashi says it's a din drabanan that once Maaseh Sheni is brought to Yerushalayim, it's going to be eaten there. So you might think you should exclude such Maaseh Sheni from mitzvah matzah because it cannot be taken out of Yerushalayim to be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. Tamalomer matzos matzos riva. So the Braisa says that no, matzos matzos teaches me that you could eat Maaseh Sheni for matzah. Now this clearly is against the Yosef from before. We'll soon see. Umara isa l'rabos Maaseh Sheni l'hotzi bikurim. So why do you assume that you could eat matzah from Maaseh Sheni, but you can't eat bikurim as matzah? Gemara explains. Rice explains. Marbani Maaseh Sheni sheyesh lo het b'chol moshos. I would prefer to say that you could use Maaseh Sheni for matzah because there is a scenario in which Maaseh Sheni can be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. How so? Kedav Elazar, like Rabbi Elazar. Rashi explains that although once Maaseh Sheni is brought to Yerushalayim, you can't any longer transfer the kedusha off of it. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Nonetheless, Rabbi Elazar holds, Rabbi Eliezer holds, that if it becomes tamei in Yerushalayim, you are allowed to transfer the kedusha off of it and eat it outside of Yerushalayim. So therefore, based on that scenario, that you do have a scenario whereby Maaseh Sheni brought to Yerushalayim can still be redeemed and taken out of Yerushalayim if it becomes tamei. So therefore, if you have a choice of what to allow to be used for mitzvah matzah, we'll allow Maaseh Sheni, which has a scenario which it can be eaten b'chol moshmos. So mozeni bikurim she'em lehen hetzah b'chol moshmos. But I'll exclude bikurim that can never be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. I think Gemara cites this din of Rabbi Elazar. To Amar Rabbi Elazar, minayin lemaaseh sheni shenitma shepodinoso afilu b'Yerushalayim. How do you know that Maaseh Sheni, which was became tamei, can be redeemed from its kedusha and then taken and eaten anywhere, even once it's in Yerushalayim? If it becomes tamei, you can be podin and take it out. Tamlomer kilo suchal se'eso ve'ein se'es el achila. Pasuk speaks of being allowed to redeem the Maaseh Sheni, or more accurately, to transfer its kedusha to money and bring the money to Yerushalayim. And the pasuk speaks of, because it's so difficult to carry the grain itself to Yerushalayim, therefore you can transfer the kedusha onto money and to then bring the money to Yerushalayim. And that lashon of se'eso, which literally means to carry it, the Gemara darshins. Is a lashon of achila when you can't eat it. The ein seis el lashon el achila. The lashon of lo suchas seiso is a lashon of achila. How do we know that? Shneva pasuk says in last week's parsha, vayisa masos meis panav, that when giving the portions of food that Yosef gave out to the brothers when they came to Mitzrayim, so he gave them all portions of food. He gave Binyamin more portions than the rest of them, but it says masos meis panav. So when describing the portions of food, it speaks to them as masos. So the Gemara says, you see from here that the word masos or the word seis can be lashon of achila. So that's why we darshin, Rabbi Elazar darshins, that there's a time, an instance when Maaseh Sheni, which can't be eaten because it's tamei, can still be nifta, redeemed, and then it can be relieved of its kedusha, and it can be eaten even once you've already brought it to Yerushalayim. So based on that, the advice that concludes, bottom line, that if you have a choice between Bikurim and Maaseh Sheni, which one can be used for matzah, which one not, the advice says, I'd rather darshan that Maaseh Sheni can be used for matzah, because you have an instance where it can be eaten outside of Yerushalayim, even after it's taken to Yerushalayim, it can be redeemed if it's tamei and taken back out. But Bikurim, which can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, cannot be used for matzah, period. But that's the advice. So Gemara says very simply, Man Shamas said to Amar, but Maaseh Sheni, nothing bay. Well, who's the author, the Tana, who says that you could use Maaseh Sheni for matzah? Rabbi Kiva, because we saw before, basically, forbids using Maaseh Sheni for matzah. This follows Rabbi Kiva then. And what do you see here? The Kamamit, Lahul Levikurim, they become Moshe Sechem. And yet, this same Brisa, which follows Rabbi Kiva, darshans become Moshe Sechem to exclude Bikurim from matzah. Shemamina, Hadave, you see that Rabbi Kiva backed out of his initial drasha and conceded to basically his drasha that we exclude matzah bikurim from the chovas shoseichem. Okay, so what we have, machlokas of Yosneguli and of Ikiva, can I use my shen for matzah? But everyone agrees that I cannot use bikurim for matzah because it's not eaten the chovas shoseichem. So Gemara asks, if Yosneguli, tepuk le milachem oni, so Yosef Guli, who darshaned that you can't eat Maisa Sheni for matzah because it's not eaten by an onen, so then why not darshan the same for Bikurim? That you can't eat Bikurim if you're an onen. And says the Gemara, Sovla Kibbe Shimon. He holds a Kibbe Shimon. The Tana, the Baisa says, Bikurim Asurin La Onen. Tana Kama says, Bikurim may not be eaten by an onen. Kibbe Shimon matter. Shimon allows it. So if Yosef Guli holds a Kibbe Shimon that an onen could eat Bikurim, so he has to exclude matzah bikurim from a different pasuk, v'chomer shoseichem. But my shesheni, which he holds, cannot be eaten by an onen, so that he darshins cannot be used for matzah because it's not lachem oni. Says the Gemara Vayter, my time to Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan say that an onen cannot be bikurim? Because the pasuk says, lo sucha lecho bishorecha, and the pasuk then continues, you can't eat anywhere you want. If you have the whole pasuk that you'll see, the pasuk has a list in Dvarim Yabez of but you're not allowed to eat fish arecha. And the Gemara then darshins what that list refers to. So the pasuk, an exact line here: "Lusucha lacha b'sharecha, ma'isa degancha, tiroshcha, yitzarecha, v'charesh dekarcha, sonecha, kol nederecha, nidvosecha, shumasidecha." So Gemara darshins, Amar Mar says, "Shumasidecha ela bikurim," and the pasuk says you can't eat bish arecha. And one of the items listed is Trumas Yedecha. That means Bikurim. That you can't eat Bikurim B'chol Shorecha. And that pasuk also mentions Ma'isa Degoncha. So the Gemara says, so V'amamar, Mar says Trumas Yedecha Ela Bikurim to Iskish Bikurim Ma'isa. So in that same pasuk, it speaks of Ma'isa and of Bikurim. So there's a Hekesh to Netu. What's the Hekesh teach us? As follows. Ma ma'aser aser la'onen, af bikurim aser la'onen. Just like ma'aser sheni cannot be eaten by an onen, so to bikurim cannot be eaten by an onen. So this is the shitas chachamim, the Tanakam, the Rabbanan, who say that because you have in this pasuk a reference to both ma'aser sheni and bikurim, that both cannot be eaten bish arecha. So therefore, that tells me that there's a hekesh between ma'aser sheni and bikurim that we learn as well. That therefore, just like Ma'aser Sheni cannot be eaten by an onen, so too Bikurim cannot be eaten by an onen. That's Tanakam. That's Rabbanan. Shimon says no. Truma Kurim or Rachmano. The Torah calls Bikurim Truma Sedecha. So Ketruma. So it has the status of Truma in a certain sense. Namely, Mat Truma Mutaris La'onen, Af Bikurim Mutz La'onen. Truma can be eaten by an onen. Bikurim can also be eaten by an onen. That's the Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so Machlokas, Tanakama, and Rabbi Shimon, whether Bikurim can be eaten by an onen or not. Chachamim say it's like Ma'aser Sheni cannot be eaten by an onen. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's like Truma, it could be eaten by an onen. So Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon, he's a Hekesh last late. Okay, so he doesn't darshan the Hekesh between Bikurim and Ma'aser Sheni to tell me that you can eat Bikurim if you're an onen. But Simcha miyam mechtof ksivabu, but still, the pasuk refers to eating Bikurim b'simcha, so doesn't that exclude an onen? After all, says the Gemara, the pasuk says, v'samach t'b'chato, that you should rejoice with the good that God has given you. Mashma that Bikurim has to be eaten b'simcha, so an onen is not b'simcha, should not be allowed to eat Bikurim. And it says the Gemara from Bishimon as follows. Hahulazman simcha da'asa. That's not meant to exclude an onen from eating it. That's meant to tell me the time of year when Bikurim is supposed to be ideally brought. During the time of simcha, Bashas time of simcha is when you're harvesting and bringing in your crops and you're very excited about your crops. Now the Mishnah says, "Me'at Saris Barachag Mevi Vekare," between Shavuos and Sukkos, which is when a person is harvesting and bringing in his crops, that is when you're supposed to bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim and recite the Psukim that you recite when you bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim. Me'achag Bar Chanukah after Sukkos until Chanukah, maybe you can still bring it, but in a Kari, you no longer recite those the Parshas Mikra Bikurim. You no longer make that declaration that you're supposed to recite when you bring the Bikurim. Because no longer is Man Simcha anymore. Okay, so you see here that there's a Dafka Zman Simcha, and you're supposed to bring and recite the Parshas Bikurim between Shavuos and Sukkos, and that's why it says, V'samach t'b'chalotot. Fine, moving on now. Okay, so now we've excluded Bikurim from Yisra Matzah. We had Machlokas, Tanoim, with the Gata Maisa Sheni. Next, Tanu Rabban Baisa says, Lachem Oni Prat L'chalut. Lachem Oni implies you may not use a bread that has been boiled in water. That's because Rashi explains that's considered Chashiva, it's not considered Oni. And Vila Ashishi, can't use a large, big loaf for matzah. It's also not considered Lachem Oni. You might think that lachem oni means you must use only an inferior type of flour that doesn't look nice at all. Tamlomar matzos matzos riba. No, there's an inclusion implied by matzos matzos. Gafilu kematzos shel Shlomo. Even using fine flour like Shlomo did, luxurious flour, that's okay. So why said lachem oni? That means you cannot use boiled dough or large, large loaves. Asks Gemara, my mashma the high ashisha loshin chashivusahu. Why do you think that ashisha implies something which is chashuv, distinguished? Because pasuk says by Shlomo Melech, by chalek l'chol ha'am l'chol hamon Yisrael, l'me ishvan isha, he gave out to every man and woman. He gave them each an ashisha per man. So what does that mean? Eshbar means echad mishisha bapar, a sixth of a cow, large chunk of meat. Ashisha means echad mishisha ba'efa, large quantity of flour made into a bread. So ashisha implies a significant amount. Pliga the Shmuel, this is against Shmuel. Shmuel says, no, Ashisha means garba, the chamra, it means a measurement of wine or flask of wine. The Chsibika says, v'ohave Ashisha anavim. Okay, so the Gemara concludes that Lachmoni implies that one may not use an Ashisha, one may not use chalut bread for his matzah, but one is allowed to use flour that is so less made into matzah. Okay, conclude here for today, Es Hashem, and resume tomorrow, regular time.
Thank you, Marcus. Have a good day.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you, Randy.